Good morning. I thank God for this particular opportunity to stand before you, and I see that as a great blessing. You might hear this message once, or maybe you may go home and meditate one more time. But to stand here, I meditated this message tons of times. If God speaks to you once, He already spoke to me 10 times. Unless we have the spirit of humbleness, we cannot change. And all we are going through this Sermon on Mount is a change in heart, a new heart, a heart that would accept. And I pray this morning that we have that spirit of humbleness as we take this forward. For last few weeks, we are looking at the Sermon on Mount, and chapter 5 especially is an important part of the sermon. Now I want to read this verse before I move forward, which is in verse 17 of chapter 5. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Jesus Christ did not come to change anything, but God has come, Jesus Christ has come, to bring the heart of God behind the law that was given, to show us the principles behind the rules that was given. As Jesus Christ is dealing with the inner meaning of the law, in chapter 5, he's trying to deal with some specifics like we saw in last few weeks where there was a misunderstanding and misinterpretation from the Pharisees and scribes. As Jesus Christ goes and starts laying these principles, he comes back to this verse as a root verse, I would say, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of Pharisees and scribes, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But what's wrong with the righteousness of Pharisees and scribes? There are plenty of mistakes. At least I managed to find 3. If there is any PhD here, you might find more. Oh, we have one. Yes. These principles. The righteousness of Pharisees and scribes, they are based on wrong foundations. What does that mean? The Pharisees and scribes, being the descendants of Abraham, they claim to be right with God based on who they are and what they did, the religious activities. When they come to God, they wanted to say, hey, this is what I have, this is who I am, and this is what I did, so I can be accepted by God. A classic example would be that a Pharisee and a tax collector goes into the temple, and the Pharisees lift his head up into heavens and prays the prayer. The prayer is purely based on who he is and what he did. And secondly, their righteousness is based on the wrong principles. Jesus Christ himself makes it clear that they focused almost entirely on the external observance of the law, and they were meticulous about keeping the traditions and rituals by ignoring the spirit behind it. He even condemns them in, I think, chapter 23, saying, "You have transgressed the commandments, the God's commandments, so that you can uphold those traditions and rituals." So the righteousness of Pharisees is based on wrong foundation, it's based on the wrong principles, and their righteousness is based on the wrong motive. Again, Jesus Christ says, in everything they do, especially in the matters of fasting, prayer, and giving, they did what they did to impress people. They wanted people to say, oh, holy man, a righteous man, oh, see that, generous man. They want the praises of men than honoring God. And Jesus says that they have received their reward. When someone said, such a generous man, the reward was given but they are missing on the far important reward, which is being right with God. Now, the question we have this morning is, on what is your and my righteousness is based on? What is your righteousness is resting upon? As children of God, I believe you all know that our righteousness is based on the right foundation, which is, it is based on not who I am, but who Christ is. He was sitting on the right-hand side of the Father, but he became human being for you and me. And it's not based on what I did, but what Christ did on the cross. And we, as children of God, to let your righteousness be based on the right principles. And these principles is that we embrace the spirit of the law, we embrace the principles and rules, not just the rule, but the principle behind the law or behind the rule. And finally, our motivation to be righteousness is not to be honored, but to honor God. So saying that, I would like to move forward and Jesus Christ explaining how a person should understand an anger, how a person should understand murder and divorce and marriage. As he goes through all these things, he comes to this passage from verse 33 onwards to 37. He talks about taking oaths and making vows. You might say, really? When was the last time you took an oath? I mean, we understand lust, we understand anger, we understand marriages, divorce. These things come across a believer's life on a daily basis, and we grapple sometimes to hold on to God's principles. But what is that I'm going to learn from taking oaths and making vows? Well, Bible has plenty to say about our speech. Jesus Christ is not limiting his teaching in this passage about a person can take an oath or not take an oath. He's talking about how a person has to speak as a follower of Christ. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus Christ says that out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasures of his heart, brings forth good things, and an evil man, out of the evil treasures, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. The last verse, the last part of the verse, really caught me for a few weeks, trying to get it out of my heart. Every idle word we speak, if you start counting them, they go into the book of judgment as a question for you to answer on that day. There will be tons of questions that we may have to answer for the every word that is not, that's idle to speak. And Jesus Christ is teaching here that our mouth is a visual fountain of the hidden springs that are in your heart. If you have secret thoughts which are not positive, which are not right, evil thoughts, your mouth becomes the echo. Sometimes we meet people we never met before, never spoke before, but in 1 hour of their company and what they speak, you get an idea, right? Who they are, what is the characteristic. So Jesus Christ is teaching us on how we should speak as a follower of Christ. Before we go into this meditation this morning, where Jesus Christ says, oh, you were told by these Pharisees that Moses said like that, like Fletcher was saying, indicating what Moses said was different to what Pharisees were teaching, I would like to bring three questions in front of us as a meditation. One, what did Moses actually teach? Number two, what did Pharisees and scribes teach? Number three, what is Jesus Christ teaching us? But before going into those three questions, I would like to spend 2 minutes explaining or understanding what is an oath. Because we have used these words in this passage, oath and forswear, it's worth understanding what it actually means, saying an oath. An oath is when someone calls on God as a witness to the truthfulness of the statement or the seriousness of a promise. When we take an oath, we are essentially asking God to testify that we are saying what we are saying is true, and that we fully intend to keep our word. Now, in those days, the Gentiles have plenty of pagan gods, and they take oaths generously in everyday matters, trivial matters, common matters, and that they call their gods, which involve living, non-living animals, and a lot of pagan gods, including a frog, if you believe me. They take oath, saying, it is the name of frog or something like that, I do this. But God is elevating the whole concept of oath, and he says that it is God who is going to stand as a witness. And secondly, forswear means it simply refers to someone taking an oath falsely or without sincerity. So keeping those things in mind, let's go and check what exactly Moses was teaching us. There are three verses I can bring this morning to get an understanding of what God is actually teaching us through Moses in the law. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. You shall fear the Lord your God and swear and serve him, and shall take oaths in his names. Now again, as I was telling you, that the Gentiles took oaths on different names, but God says you should take oath on my name. And before that, he said you should fear me. When you take an oath, you should have that reverence. You should have that seriousness and understand that God is standing as a witness. God is not just a witness, but he would execute punishment if you don't commit to what you said. And secondly, the other verse, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12, and you shall not swear by name, by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. It's simply saying that you can't just take my name to back up your lies. If you're taking my name, you better say truth or be serious about the statement or agreement you're making that you would commit to in the future. And finally, we see one more verse, Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. And there are plenty of verses related to this in Old Testament. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears on the oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Again, it's reinforcing that the moment you said it is God I am bringing in, everything that comes out of your mouth, you better do that. So to summarize, oaths were to be taken only in the name of the Lord, and they had to be affirmed. They had to affirm the truth, and they were absolutely binding. That is what exactly the Moses was teaching. Then what is Pharisees teaching? Before we see what Pharisees are teaching, we need to consider and keep in mind the position of Pharisees and scribes in those days, in the Lord's day. The corruption and the dishonesty in their thinking, which focuses on the external meaning of the law. How many of you use ChatGPT? You know what is ChatGPT? We have nowadays the AI tools, right? Usually, other than the coding I use that for, you have a 2 pages of article, you're lazy to read, but you want to know what is in it, you ask ChatGPT to summarize it. It nicely summarizes into 3 points, 4 points. Oh, out of all those 2 pages, all you got is 3 points. And it's dangerous to use such tool on a law where the details are very important. What scribes and Pharisees did was a summary of what detailed law that Moses has given them. Some of the important details were missing. It sounds right because it's not false, but it's not entire truth. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not forswear yourself, but shall perform your oaths to God, the Lord. Now, if you take the first part, what they're saying is, you can take any oath for any kind of reason, as long as it's not false, and as long as you keep it, you try to keep it. That is the first part. Now, because you can take any oath for any kind of reason, people started taking meaningless oaths for very common reasons. It is not harmful as long as you don't take the name of the Lord. So they have introduced a system of items that can be replacing the name of the Lord. You swear on the temple, you swear on the Jerusalem, you swear on the altar, you swear on your head. And people know, as long as they try to keep it, but it is not harmful if you can't, because I did not really take the name of the Lord. Now, the seriousness of what God is trying to do in the Old Testament was being removed. It is said that it's very common in Jews to take oaths for a trivial matter. So the first part, we see that they have removed the seriousness of the oaths. Secondly, they twisted the rules about the oath. The Pharisees thought only oaths made in God's name were binding, and if the oath was made in other name, it was not as important to keep. So we have insincere oaths because everyone takes oaths and no one takes care of it, no one takes responsibility to fulfill. Now, they also said there are honest oaths. If you take the name of the Lord instead of a temple or altar or something else, then you are binding to do that. So we have insincere oaths, we have honest oaths. They have used the tool of oath to tell lies as well as to make someone tell truth. Now, God's intention was totally different. The oath is given as a serious and a reverence situation where you bring God in. Now, this is something that not only just is limited to the oaths. Sometimes this goes into the heart of human nature. We take a precept, we take a rule where God embodies a principle behind it, but we manage to do just the rule and completely ignore the principle. You don't do that way, but you can do this way. You can still say you did this way by doing this way. We find a way to work around and still get legally out of problem, but we leave the principle behind. This applies to quite a few things. I mean, like an example, what Steve said, we say this and then do something else. I'll give you an example. I'm not really saying, people, as human beings, we try to cover ourselves. It could be a sin, it could be a mistake, by still trying to prove we are not going outside the rules. I think it is more than 12 to 14 years ago in New Zealand, we took this promise as a family that we do family prayer every night. The idea behind, or the principle behind, the intention behind that rule is that we can bring all the family together, we can have fellowship, we have time to worship, we can reflect on the day, and then ask for forgiveness, wait upon the Lord to speak what he wants to say, and then conclude with a prayer. That is the structure. And after a few years, this has become a, what should I say, not a ritual, but a tradition. It has to be done. Family prayer, you can't miss family prayer. You remember, we took a promise. Sometimes a lot of things come in, and then someone has to go out. We are busy. Okay, just do fast. Make it quick. Instead of three songs, make it one song with one verse. You know, instead of reading Bible, quickly read a passage in the word for today. And the last prayer we usually do, all of us, for today only Mama will do it. We still did the family prayer, but the intention behind it is completely gone. We're doing it because there is a promise we made. And this can apply not just with the word. It can apply for financial loss in this country or anything that we try and find a loophole. And if we as children of God need to have a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of Pharisees and scribes, we need to change that in our heart. As I'm telling this, don't think I'm a good guy. As I told, I was stuck with these matters repeatedly in the past few weeks. But I thought it would be useful to be very clear in the Word of God that what God wants us to change. So Pharisees have twisted what God is teaching. And what is Jesus Christ teaching? Before we'll go into what Jesus Christ is teaching, it's important for us to understand what Jesus Christ is not teaching. It says that, "But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven." Some people stop there, take that verse out of context, and think that Jesus Christ is forbidding to take oaths altogether. But that is not exactly what Christ is teaching. We have various examples, a lot of examples where God takes oath, apostles take oath, Jesus Christ himself takes oath or respects oath in many scenarios. For example, Matthew chapter 26, verse 63. Jesus Christ is standing in trial and he doesn't speak for any questions that were asked. Bible says that he had to break silence and answer when this happened. The high priest said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Now, Christ did not condemn the high priest for keeping him under oath, but he respected it and answered the question. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, "For when God made a promise to Abraham," this is the covenant God is making with Abraham, "because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself." We have a few more examples where Abraham does take the oath. We have examples where David takes the oath. Paul writes to, in one of the letters says, "I put you under oath to read this letter in the church in front of all the brothers." So Jesus Christ is not condemning or forbidding to take oaths. But what exactly is Jesus Christ is condemning? Jesus Christ wants us not to misuse and take advantage of or twist the word of God and do take oaths, or to that matter, anything. Unfortunately, we sometimes fall into the same trap, isn't it? May not be directly on a promise, but I think we do that with the word of God, taking a verse of our context and fit that verse to our needs. It can be related to tithes. It can be related to giving. It can be related of taking care of elders. There are so many things the Pharisees twisted the word to fit into their requirements. And we sometimes do that too. There are times when people misinterpret and selectively use scriptures to justify action or support person's desire rather than submitting it to its true meaning. Instead of aligning ourselves, being aligned to God's thoughts and his principles, we try to get that word and rightly fit into our conversation or our need. This is something that has to change. And Jesus is teaching, don't take oaths in the fashion of Pharisees and scribes. He continues and says, "You think you're smart. The logic here is, except the word God, you put something else, then you're out of the punishment." That was the logic Pharisees was using. You say you're swearing on the heavens, but you know what? Heaven is the throne of God. You're still bringing God in there. You're swearing on earth, but earth is his footstool. You're swearing on Jerusalem, but it is his city. So you're bringing God in there too. You're swearing on your own head. You can't change the hair white to black, or I mean the natural color, black to white or white to black. But you have no control on even on your hair. You do not have control on your life. God has control on your life. And any created thing is His. So just tweaking a word, instead of God, I put something else, doesn't bring you out of the consequences. By saying that, Jesus Christ is elevating the name of God. You're still bringing the name of God. The third commandment, you should not take His name in vain. You shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes His name in vain. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. What is taking God's name in vain? Taking name of God in any statement or any situation where His character doesn't fit. Jesus, Jesus Christ, and some filthy words in that statements. You think God will not put you guiltless? If you think like that, then you're thinking wrong. Every idle word that comes out of our mouth, we have to answer why we did that, why did we say that. I think Shakespeare writes that a person robs my purse, I lose nothing, mine to him. But if a person robs my name, then I lose everything. Even when we die, our name stays. And if it is true for a human being, how much true it is for God. God's name is sacred. Jesus' words are condemning the oath-taking in the fashion of scribes and Pharisees. They're deceptive and manipulative and insincere use of oaths. And finally, Jesus is concluding to, or bringing it to, all down to this simple truth that when you say something, your S should be S and no as no. Being a follower of Christ, you don't need oaths to convince someone that you are telling truth. Jesus Christ is truth, and it is expected as a mark of Christian to be truthful and being a center of our lives. Jesus Christ is saying, imagine you have a bridge in front of you and it has a lot of holes. Some of the bricks came off. How much you can trust to pass on that bridge? There are a bunch of bricks fallen off and you can see the river going down. What is the guarantee the next step I put that doesn't go off? If your speech has so many holes in it and so many promises not fulfilled, how can someone trust your speech and take a decision? We are put on this earth for a purpose, to take His good news to the ends of the world, to extend His kingdom. But if our words are not trustworthy, we won't be able to fulfill His great commission. So Jesus is teaching us to bring the life that is life of integrity in the lives of Christians. And that is a challenge that is continuously hitting me for a few weeks. And now I shared with you, I have a bit light heart. You can also have that challenge in your hearts. Can we do a small prayer? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to your presence, O Father, we come with a heart, with a humble spirit, so we can accept your word, put your words into our hearts, and meditate them. Give us a heart that is made of flesh, O Lord. Our hearts have become stones. There are certain things that cannot penetrate through our hearts. But you said, O Lord, that you would take that stony heart away and give us a heart of flesh, so that when your words come into our hearts, and that heart would take that in with a humbleness, and bring change into our lives. I commit all these words into your mighty name. Amen. At this time, we will conclude our online service, and then we move forward with open worship. We take time, a few minutes, to say to Lord, if you need to say sorry, yes, you can say sorry, but we are also remembering the great work that Jesus Christ has done on the cross in this time. Let's bow down.